I'm Haley Williams of the Buffalo Buttes, and you're listening to The Experience Hockey Talk.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 2015-16 season finale of the Experience Hockey Talk. My name is Michael Lindmont, and we are brought to you by the Till Kilt in Frederick, Maryland. The Till Kilt Pub and Eatery, located at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland, come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Till the Kilt Girls. For more on Till the Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today. And today is July 2nd. Today is the second day of NHL free agency. The only signing of today was the Florida Panthers signing Jason Demers for a 5-year contract. But before we dive into more free agency talk, we're going to go back. We're going to look at the 2016 NHL Awards. Then we're going to look at the major announcement that was made on the day of the awards. Then we're also going to look at the 2016 NHL Draft. Then we're going to go into free agency. And then we'll do news and notes around the league, including coach hirings, trades, all that stuff. So without further ado, let's hop into the 2016 NHL Awards. First, right off the bat, you had your individual awards that were already known at the end of the season. The Art Ross Trophy going to Patrick Kane of the Chicago Blackhawks. The William M. Jennings Award going to John Gibson and Frederick Anderson of the Anaheim Ducks. And the Maurice Rocket Richard Trophy going to Alex Ovechkin of the Washington Capitals. Then, starting off the NHL Awards, you had the Calder Trophy, which was between Artemi Panarin of the Chicago Blackhawks, Connor McDavid of the Edmonton Oilers, and Shane Gostisbehere of the Philadelphia Flyers, which saw Artemi Panarin of the Chicago Blackhawks winning over Connor McDavid and Shane Gostisbehere. Honestly, Panarin was the most consistent rookie from start to finish. If Connor McDavid had played a full season, he would have won this award, in my opinion. But being how he was out injured and missed a good amount of the season, he was unable to showcase that for a full entire season. And Shane Gostisbehere had a really great season, especially for a defenseman in their rookie season. Definitely deserves the nomination for the Calder Trophy for Rookie of the Year. Then next up was the Ted Lindsay Award, which was voted on by the players as the most valuable player to their team, which went to Patrick Kane of the Chicago Blackhawks. Can't argue with that one there. Patrick Kane, definitely a big piece of the Chicago Blackhawks puzzle. He had a career year this past year, despite some off-ice issues that lingered from the off-season. And then next up, you had the General Manager of the Year Award, which was between Jim Rutherford of the Pittsburgh Penguins, Jim Neal of the Dallas Stars, and Brian McClellan of the Washington Capitals. Obviously, Brian McClellan been on the job for 2 years, doing everything he can to make the Capitals a true contender in the NHL for the Stanley Cup. Then you have Jim Neal, who has been re-piecing together the Dallas Stars and trying to bring in certain pieces to elevate them, and which they were able to actually get into the second round, although that first round, that last game against the Minnesota Wild, was a telltale sign that there's still work to do in Dallas. And then you have Jim Rutherford, who had to make a coaching change in the middle of the season, bring up guys, do a couple little trades here and there. Obviously the retirement of Pascal Dupuis due to medical reasons. But it was able to compile a team together that eventually won the Stanley Cup this season, and General Manager of the Year went to Jim Rutherford for those reasons I just mentioned. You know, the bringing up the guys to fill in the spots of injured guys, making trades to better a position. Like the trade for Trevor Daley was a big deal. So Jim Rutherford, your general manager of the year, which then next up was the Masterton Trophy for perseverance in the game of hockey. You had Jaromir Jagr from the Florida Panthers, Pascal Dupuis of the Pittsburgh Penguins, and Matt Zuccarello of the New York Rangers. Matt Zuccarello took a slap shot to the head in the previous year's playoffs, fractured his skull, had to relearn how to talk, a whole bunch of things. His future in the game was completely questionable. Nobody knew if he was going to be back. Obviously, he did, and he made an impact for the New York Rangers. And he had Pascal Dupuis, who I mentioned, had to retire due to medical reasons, due to blood clots and stuff like that. And then you had Jaromir Jagr, who is 44 years old and still playing the game, just signed a one-year deal to remain with the Florida Panthers for next season. And after voting, Jaromir Jagr won the Masterton for perseverance. I mean, I guess when you're 44 years old and you're still playing a game, especially a game that's full of young guys now, that's a big deal. Then next up, you had the Mark Messier Leadership Award, which was between Shea Weber of the Nashville Predators, Alex Ovechkin of the Washington Capitals, and John Tavares of the New York Islanders. All of them were nominated for specific reasons, and Mark Messier thought that between the three captains, that Shea Weber of the Nashville Predators displayed not just the best leadership on the ice, but also the best leadership off of the ice as well. And then for the King Clancy Memorial Trophy, that was awarded to Henrik Sedin of the Vancouver Canucks. And then the NHL Foundation Award for off-ice community, stuff like that. The nominees were Mark Giordano of the Calgary Flames, P.K. Subban of the Montreal Canadiens, and Matt Martin of the New York Islanders. All three of them, you know, you can't go wrong with who wins this for what they do off the ice. They do amazing things. Mark Giordano of the Calgary Flames was the winner of the NHL Foundation Award. Then for the Norris Trophy as best defenseman in the league, it was between Drew Doughty of the Los Angeles Kings, Erik Karlsson of the Ottawa Senators, and Brent Burns of the San Jose Sharks. And all of them great defensemen. Well, I think Karlsson's a really good, you know, forward who plays defense. Don't think he should have been in this Norris Trophy running. I think Norris Trophy should legitimately go to the best defenseman, because that's what they do. They play defense. Getting stats, it should not be like their number one priority. And I think the right guy won this, and that was Drew Doughty of the Los Angeles Kings. I think of the three, Drew Doughty is the best defenseman of those three men. I wouldn't even put Karlsson in my top three or top five for the Norris Trophy. And then you had the Selke Trophy between Anze Kopitar, Patrice Bergeron, and Ryan Kessler. Kopitar with the Los Angeles Kings, Bergeron with the Boston Bruins, and Kessler with the Anaheim Ducks. This one, again, you could not go wrong with who wins this award. Best defensive forward. And, I mean, Bergeron's run it multiple times. This is Kopitar's win again. Kessler definitely belonged up there. And Anze Kopitar, the Los Angeles Kings, won the Selke Trophy. Then for the Coach of the Year Award, the Jack Adams Award, it was between Barry Trotz of the Washington Capitals, Lindy Ruff of the Dallas Stars, and Gerard Gallant of the Florida Panthers. Gerard Gallant got the Florida Panthers into the playoffs and close to winning their first playoff series in a very long time. Lindy Ruff bringing the Dallas Stars back to the playoffs and making them pretty much one of the toughest teams in the Western Conference and probably one of the more consistent teams throughout the regular season as well. And then you had Barry Trotz of the Washington Capitals, who had the President's Trophy winning season this past year. And, of course, the award went to Barry Trotz of the Washington Capitals. Well-deserved. Again, this was another award that could have gone either, it could have gone to any of the three men, but I feel Barry Trotz was the more deserving to be able to keep his team, I guess you can say, consistently the best team in the league all season long. It's hard, but especially near the end when, you know, I had my criticisms of the team, that needed to be changed, and honestly, that wasn't truly, I don't think, worked on, or especially after the blizzard hit. And then for the Lady Bing Trophy, for the more sportsmanlike player, it was between Anze Kopitar of the Los Angeles Kings, Alexander Barkov of the Florida Panthers, and Louis Erickson of the Boston Bruins. And Anze Kopitar would be the winner of the Lady Bing. And then you come up to your last two awards, the Vezina Trophy and the Hart Memorial Trophy. For the Vezina Trophy, it was between Braden Holtby of the Washington Capitals, Ben Bishop of the Tampa Bay Lightning, and Jonathan Quick of the Los Angeles Kings. Between the men, Braden Holtby would be the winner of the award. He had the most wins, and he was on the most consistent team of the season. And then for the Hart Memorial Trophy, the league MVP, it was between Patrick Kane of the Chicago Blackhawks, Sidney Crosby of the Pittsburgh Penguins, and Jamie Benn of the Dallas Stars. And Patrick Kane would go home with the Hart Memorial Trophy this season. So that was the 2016 NHL Awards. And then when we come back from break, we'll be talking about the announcement that was made before the awards. Looking for something exciting to do the weekend before Thanksgiving? Then come to DerpyCon. DerpyCon, which is November 18th through 20th, 2016, at the Hyatt Morristown in Morristown, New Jersey, comes to special guests like Todd Haberkorn, Vic McNoya, Uncle Yo, and many more. For more information and to purchase tickets, visit DerpyCon.com. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the season finale of the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey fans, and we're now going to talk about expansion. On June 22nd, before the NHL Awards were done, Commissioner Gary Bettman announced in the ballroom of Encore at Wynn Las Vegas that the league has granted an expansion franchise to Las Vegas that will start playing as its 31st team in the 2017-18 season. The Las Vegas franchise was approved in a unanimous vote conducted during the Board of Governors meeting that day. The NHL becomes the first of the four major North American professional sports leagues to put a team in Las Vegas. This will be the NHL's first expansion team since the Columbus Blue Jackets and Minnesota Wild came into the league in the 2000-2001 season. The league will receive a $500 million expansion fee from Bill Foley, the billionaire businessman who spearheaded the Las Vegas expansion bid, and will be the franchise's principal owner. The $500 million will be distributed equally among the existing 30 teams. Now, a couple notes. With the NHL awarding a franchise to Las Vegas at the Board of Governors meeting, an expansion draft will have to take place after this upcoming season. Las Vegas will become the 8th team in the Pacific Division and the 15th team in the Western Conference. The NHL will still have 16 teams in the Eastern Conference. It should be noted that the other team that was up for expansion, or the other city that was up for expansion, was Quebec City. Their application was deferred. They said that geographically it would not work because then the Eastern Conference would have 17 teams. The Canadian dollar was a factor, and they only wanted to do one team at a time for expansion. But honestly, I see Quebec happening in the next maybe 5 years via relocation, which would not surprise me, or by expansion. I think relocation would be the more logical one to have happen, especially when you think about geography for how the league is set up so far with where all the teams are based. So I'm here hoping that Quebec happens. I want Quebec to happen. I would prefer Quebec over Vegas. I don't think Vegas is going to be a true hockey city. But we'll see what happens. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what type of rivalries. And then when you look at the rules of the expansion draft, what clubs can do and can't do, and you know, with how deep and young this league is, the new Las Vegas franchise will have the potential of being competitive right off the bat. But at the same time, I'm sorry, I'm going to call it how I see it, but it smells fishy to have a team in Vegas, man. It really does. You know, they can claim all they want that the gambling and all that stuff is it's not going to be an issue, but, you know, if it wasn't for him being up for the Hart and the Lindsay, I don't think Patrick Kane would have showed up to Vegas. I mean, with his off-ice issues that he needs to, quite frankly, just grow up on, it. You know, Vegas, it's a crapshoot. It really is, and I'm not saying that to, you know, do puns or anything, but when you look at Vegas, I don't see a hockey town. It's a nice arena. I've seen the arena. I've seen the business report and stuff like that, and they did the thing. Obviously, WWE just did a pay-per-view at the arena. It's a very nice arena, but I don't know. We'll see how this goes. It still doesn't feel right to me, but being how Bill Foley does have a history in hockey and stuff like that, if he approaches everything the right way to help grow the game out there, then they'll be successful. But we'll have to wait and see how it plays out. Obviously, we're not going to see much of anything for the next season. We'll get a name, we'll see jerseys, we'll hear a general manager announced, we'll hear a coach announced, coaching staff announced. And then obviously this time next year, we'll know who's on the Las Vegas, which we're probably assuming is going to be the Black Knights. So, I do have all of the rules for how the scheduling will be done, how the expansion draft will be done for this. But being how it's so far in advance to when the actual expansion draft will happen, we're not going to delve into it right now. We're not going to dig deep into it because, quite honestly, this is a topic of in regards to expansion draft, in regards to how the schedule will be done for the 2017-18 season is something we can honestly wait till the end of the 16-17 season to talk about. So with that, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to look at the 2016 NHL draft.
Ever interested in meeting your favorite athletes or celebrities, or looking for that right memorabilia for your collection? Then come to the CSA Shows in Chantilly, Virginia. For more information, go to csashows.com.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the 2015-16 season finale of the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey fans. And we're now going to take a quick little look at the 2016 NHL Draft. Now, before we jump into this, I'm going to state this right now. We are not going to look at every single pick that was done. We're going to look at the top five picks that were made in the draft. We'll look at the Washington Capitals picks. We'll look at the draft day trades, and we'll look at what the Washington Capitals did at the draft. Now, the reason I'm not going to go for every single draft pick is simply because I'm not going over like 200-something guys who got picked. It ain't happening. And I'm only going to do the top five picks because, quite honestly, those are the top five that are probably going to make the biggest impact sooner rather than later. And without further ado, I give you the top five picks in the NHL draft. The first pick overall, which went to the Toronto Maple Leafs, was forward Austin Matthews. Obviously, Matthews was the person that everybody projected would be going number one overall in this draft. And then, obviously, going to Toronto, being how this is now the centerpiece of their complete real rebuilding model up there in Toronto. And then the second pick overall in the NHL draft went to the Winnipeg Jets, where they selected forward Patrick Laine. He could have simply taken the number one spot away from Austin Matthews. He is just that good. He is a very solid player. I believe that they're comparing him to that of a Jari Kurri. And then I'm reading that up because when we get to the fourth pick overall, that player was getting projections of a Teemu Selanne. And the interesting thing about that is Jari Kurri was with Edmonton. Timi Solani was originally drafted by Winnipeg. So there's a little interesting back and forth on that one. But Patrick Laine, selected by the Winnipeg Jets, second overall. Then third overall, the Columbus Blue Jackets selected forward Pierre-Luc Dubois. Don't know much about him. Apparently he was projected to go a little later in the first round, but he will be going to Columbus. Then the fourth overall pick went to the Edmonton Oilers, and they selected forward Jesse Puljujarvi, who I was mentioning has that comparisons to a Timu Solani. Patrick Laine getting the comparison to Timu Solani, Jesse Puljujarvi getting the comparisons to the Jari Kurri. My mistake. I'm allowed to screw up. And then the fifth overall pick went to the Vancouver Canucks, and they selected defenseman Olli Juhlevi. Again, don't know much about him, but I'm not going to take anything away from these guys. There's a reason these guys are the first five picks in the NHL draft, and I never got looked at as a player. So, those guys have more talent than I do. And then when we think about the draft, we also think about draft day trades. And you had the New Jersey Devils trade the 2016 first-round pick, which was 11th overall, to the Ottawa Senators for their 2016 first overall pick, which was the 12th, and 2016 third-round pick, which was 80th overall. The Chicago Blackhawks traded forward Andrew Shaw to the Montreal Canadiens for two 2016 NHL second-round draft picks, the 39th and 45th overall. Andrew Shaw eventually signed a contract extension with the Montreal Canadiens, I believe, which was for 6 years. Then the St. Louis Blues traded goaltender Brian Elliott to the Calgary Flames for the 2016 second-round pick, which was 35th overall, and a 2018 conditional third-round pick. I'm going to skip this one trade real quick and just go down the list and bring it up last, because I have a lot to say about it. The Florida Panthers traded defenseman Dmitry Kulikov and a 2016 second-round pick, 33rd overall, to the Buffalo Sabres for defenseman Mark Pysyk, 2016 second-round pick, 38th overall, and 2016 third-round pick, 89th overall. Tampa Bay Lightning trade defenseman Anthony DeAngelo to Arizona Coyotes for a 2016 second-round pick, 37th overall. The Pittsburgh Penguins trade forward Bo Bennett to New Jersey Devils for a 2016 third-round pick, which was 77th overall. The Chicago Blackhawks traded their 2016 fourth-round pick, 95th overall, to the New York Islanders for their 2016 fourth-round pick, 110th overall, 2017 sixth-round pick. Colorado Avalanche traded defenseman Nick Holden to the New York Rangers for 2017 fourth-round pick. And Columbus Blue Jackets traded Kirby Reichel to the Toronto Maple Leafs for defenseman Scott Harrington in a conditional 2017 fifth-round pick. Now, the trade that I skipped that I want to go back to, because I have a lot to say about it, well, my definition of a lot to say about it, is the Detroit Red Wings trade center Pavel Datsyuk, a 2016 first-round pick, 16th overall, to Arizona Coyotes for a 2016 first-round pick, 20th overall, a 2016 second-round pick, 53rd overall, and for Joe Vitale. Here's the thing, and I'm going to get into this also in NHL News and Notes. Pavel Datsyuk has retired from the NHL. He is going home to Russia to play in the Continental Hockey League and be with his daughter. The fact that the Detroit Red Wings were allowed to trade this contract screams, what the hell? Because in the CBA, you're not allowed to trade cap space. Period. It's different cases for guys like Chris Pronger and Mark Savard because they're still getting paid while their cap hit is still on the books, even though they're technically retired due to injuries. Same with Nathan Horton. But Pavel Datsyuk is not getting paid the money because he's walking away from it. And as a result, because it's an over 35, the contract or the salary cap hit remains, even though he doesn't get paid for the final season. And the fact that the Arizona Coyotes are able to pick that up to get themselves to the floor of the salary cap screams a foul to me. And it's not the right thing for the NHL to allow this to happen. And the fact that they did allow this to happen is complete garbage. You know, you're not supposed to be allowed to be able to trade cap space, you know, just that way you can clear cap space or to help a team get to the bottom of the salary cap floor or to the salary cap floor. You know, they, it shouldn't be allowed. The fact that it was allowed was really screwy, and I did not like it. Detroit should have eaten the fact that, hey, Datsyuk left, you're stuck with the 7.5 mil on your salary cap, you know, for one season. But it, you know, it's a shame that no general manager screamed foul on that either, or no owner screamed foul on that either. So, more positive, we're going to look at the Washington Capitals now. What I think more people who listen to this podcast want to hear me talk about anyways. The Washington Capitals picks in the first round, or what they did in the first round first, they did a trade. The Capitals traded their 2017 second round pick and their 2018 second round pick to the Montreal Canadiens for forward Lars Eller. We'll get to that in a little bit. But then they also swapped their first round picks. They originally had the 26th pick. They traded it to the St. Louis Blues for the 28th pick. So at 28th overall, the Washington Capitals selected defenseman Lucas Johansson. He is the brother of Nashville Predators forward Ryan Johansson. If anyone remembers anything about Ryan Johansson, his big thing was is that he did the holdout with Columbus for more money. That is something that I technically do fear with Lucas, but I hope that Lucas has a more straighter head on his shoulders and will not take the Capitals to something like that. Then in the third round, with the 87th pick overall, the Capitals selected for Garrett Pylon, which is the son of Rich Pylon, who used to play in the NHL. In the fourth round, with the 117th pick overall, the Capitals selected for Damian Riott. In the fifth round, the Capitals had two picks. At 145, they selected for Beck Malmsten. And also in the fifth round at 147, they selected forward Axel Johnson-Falsby. And from what I've heard, Axel Johnson-Falsby is supposed to be pretty good. He could probably be maybe the second best player that the Caps drafted in this entire draft next to Lucas Johansson. And then in the sixth round at 177, the Caps selected defenseman Trace Prisky. And in the seventh round at 207, the Caps selected defenseman Dmitry Zaitsev. Now, as I mentioned, the Washington Capitals did a draft day trade. They traded their 2017-2018 second-round picks to the Montreal Canadiens for forward Lars Eller. Now, I don't mind this trade. Bringing Eller in brings us a little bit more solid a center guy. Obviously, this means that Mike Richards will not come back. Jay Beagle can go back down to being the fourth line center for the Washington Capitals, as Eller will be your third line center. I don't like that we gave up two second round picks for a third line center. I would have been okay giving up next year's third and a 2018 fourth round pick for him. I think that would have been better than giving up your second round picks. But again, I'm not a general manager in the NHL. So I like the pickup of Eller. I think I know a lot of people were saying, oh, well, Eller was all with Montreal and they didn't do anything. Montreal as a whole failed. You cannot pit that on one guy. You just can't go, well, Lars Eller didn't have a good season. Why should we like him? It doesn't work like that. The guy's a former 13th overall pick in the NHL draft from St. Louis. St. Louis really didn't give him a fair shot. They traded him to Montreal for Yaroslav Halak. Montreal tried utilizing the best they could, but the problem is that Montreal doesn't really generally have that good of teams. Sorry, Brandon, but I'm being brutally honest with you. Your team needs a lot of scoring, and your team has not done anything to fix that problem. Although, we will talk about one guy that was signed yesterday a little later. So, I think it's a good trade for the Caps. I think this is the stability that Lars Eller needs, and only time will tell when the season starts and we start seeing Eller in action with the Washington Capitals. So with this, we're going to go to break, and then we will actually now take a look at NHL free agency. Looking for hockey cards to build your collection or that specific card you would like to have to get signed by your favorite player? Then I recommend Just Hockey Cards out in Silver Spring, Maryland. Donald takes good care of me when I'm looking to build my collection, and he'll help you too. For inquiries, reach out to Donald at blake4av@aol.com. That's blake4av@aol.com. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the season finale of the Experience Hockey Talk, serious hockey talk for serious hockey fans. And it is now time to delve into the insanity known as NHL free agency. Now, before I go forward on this, I must state this right here, right now. I'm not going over every single contract that was signed. I'm only going to go over the ones that I seem that were the big name contracts, in my opinion. There's really no order to how these are. I think these are mostly in team order of when they sign with certain like the team name and stuff like that. So here we go. Let's have some fun, and I'll chip in some statements here and there on certain signings. So, all right, we're going to kick it off with forward Kyle Okposo signed a 7-year contract with the Buffalo Sabres. Obviously, this is good for the Buffalo Sabres to be able to pick up Okposo. He will be able to play on a line either with Ryan O'Reilly or Jack Eichel. So this is very good for the Buffalo Sabres. They gain a good proven forward to play on their first or second line with their centers. The contract is for $42 million, an average annual value of $6 million a year, according to ESPN. For Troy Brower, signed a multi-year contract with the Calgary Flames. Terms were not released, but TSN reported it is a 4-year contract worth $18 million with an average annual value of $4.5 million. Defenseman Brian Campbell and the Chicago Blackhawks agreed to terms on a 1-year contract. It has a salary of $1.5 million with bonuses that can make it worth $2.25 million, according to ESPN. Center Franz Nielsen and the Detroit Red Wings agreed to terms on a 6-year contract. It is worth $31.5 million, an average annual value of $5.25 million, according to ESPN. For Darren Helm, signed a 5-year contract to remain with the Detroit Red Wings. Financial terms were not released, but the contract has a total value of $19.25 million for an average annual value of $3.85 a season, according to MLive.com. Left wing Thomas Vanek and the Detroit Red Wings agreed the terms on a 1-year contract. The contract is worth $2.6 million, according to TSN. The Minnesota Wild bought out the final year of Vanek's contract on June 24th, giving the veteran an opportunity to sign as an unrestricted free agent. Left wing Milan Lucic signed a 7-year contract with the Edmonton Oilers. Financial terms were not released, but ESPN reported the total value of the contract to be $42 million. Goalie James Reimer signed a 5-year contract with the Florida Panthers. It reportedly is worth $17 million, an average annual value of $3.4 million. Now, we just said two big signings, Lucic to Edmonton, which obviously he made it known right off the bat, hey, I want to play with Connor McDavid, and putting him with McDavid and Pajarvi is a really smart decision for the Edmonton Oilers. That will be a very strong first line for the Oilers. And then, of course, then you have Reimer signing with the Florida Panthers. This is very interesting. It's already known that Roberto Luongo will miss the beginning of the season due to off-season hip surgery. But at the same time, if Reimer plays really good and is able to outplay Luongo for the number one spot, then that means Luongo could be the one that gets left unprotected when the expansion draft happens next summer. So it's a very interesting case for James Reimer and the Florida Panthers in this regards. The LA Kings have agreed to terms with unrestricted free agent center Michael Latta on a 1-year contract. Kings president and general manager Dean Lombardi announced. Obviously, Michael Latta was not offered a qualifying contract by the Washington Capitals, so Michael Latta has moved on to be now with the Los Angeles Kings. I wish Michael Latta nothing but the best, but I'm going to be honest, I don't see Michael Latta truly cracking the Kings lineup. LA has a very solid team. Obviously, they need to do a little tweaks to their lineup, but unless Latta gets his game under control and is able to produce more offensively, I don't see him cracking the Los Angeles Kings lineup. Just giving an honest opinion. Like the guy personally, but on the ice, I'd love to see him do more. Center Eric Staal and the Minnesota Wild agreed the terms on a 3-year, $10.5 million contract. Forward Alexander Radulov agreed to a 1-year contract with the Montreal Canadiens. It is worth $5.75 million, according to ESPN. Radulov, who turns 30 on Tuesday, last played in the NHL in 2011-12 when he had 3 goals and 7 points in 9 games with the Nashville Predators. He had 47 goals and 102 points in 154 regular season games with Nashville. Radulov left the NHL at the start of the 2012-13 season, choosing to play in Russia after being suspended by Nashville for violating curfew during the 2011-12 season. He was selected by Nashville with the 15th pick in the 2004 NHL draft. Obviously, this is a very interesting signing for Montreal. He does bring scoring. He legitimately does, because in the KHL, he was a very dominant player offensively. The question is, can Radulov be the guy who does it all on his own in Montreal? Can guys like Gallagher and Galchenyuk chip in offensively? You know, and, I mean, Montreal needs scoring. Yeah, Radulov will give you scoring, but you need more guys than just one guy to give you that scoring. Defenseman Ben Lovejoy signed a 3-year contract with the New Jersey Devils. The contract has an average annual value of $2,666,666. Lovejoy had a few other offers, but considered the Devils to be the most comfortable fit at this point in his career. Forward Jason Chimera agreed the terms on a 2-year contract with the New York Islanders. As disappointing as it is to see Jason Chimera leave the Capitals, I believe this is good for not just Jason, but also for the Capitals. Jason going to the Islanders presents a new opportunity for him. And for the Capitals, it allows a spot to be opened up for a young kid like a Jacob Vrana to step in and prove themselves worthy of the NHL. So I wish Jason Chimera nothing but the best of the New York Islanders, except when it comes to the playoffs, until the Caps win the Cup. Then you can win your Cup, Chimera. Forward Andrew Ladd agreed to a 7-year contract with the New York Islanders. It is worth $38.5 million, an average annual value of $5.5 million, according to TSN. Forwards Dale Weiss and Borey Gordon signed with the Philadelphia Flyers. Weiss signed a 4-year contract. Gordon's contract is for 1 year. Financial terms were not released, but the Associated Press reported that Weiss's contract is worth $9.4 million with an average annual value of $2.35 million, and that Gordon's is worth $950,000. Forward Michael Boddicker signed a 4-year contract with the San Jose Sharks. It is worth $16 million, an average annual value of $4 million a season, ESPN reported. This one bites at me because this is the guy I really would have loved to see the Capitals sign. Forward Matt Martin signed a 4-year contract with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Financial terms were not released, but TSN reported an average annual value of $2.5 million. Forward Louis Erickson signed a 6-year, $36 million contract with the Vancouver Canucks. Center David Backes signed a 5-year, $30 million contract with the Boston Bruins. Forward Jamie McGinn signed a 3-year, $10 million contract with the Arizona Coyotes. And then moving on to our Washington Capitals, the Washington Capitals have signed forward Brett Connolly to a 1-year, $850,000 contract. Senior Vice President and General Manager Brian McLeod announced. The Washington Capitals have also signed goaltender Joe Cannata, defenseman Darren Dietz, and forward Christian Thomas to 1-year, 2-way deals, Senior Vice President General Manager Brian McLeod also announced. So, and then of course today, Jason Demers signed with the Florida Panthers to a 5-year contract. Very interesting. I like a lot of the signings. I'm fine with that. You know, they go where they go. They go where they feel that they're most wanted, where they feel that they fit in the best. Obviously, I think the Islanders got 2 really good guys in Ladd and Chimera. Philly got 2 good guys in Weiss and Gordon. The Louis Erickson signing with the Canucks is kind of interesting. I think Boston blew it with David Backes. Montreal obviously taking a gamble with Alexander Radulov. Eric Staal with Minnesota is a very interesting signing. Okposo with Buffalo is a really good signing. We'll see how some of these signings pan out. Some pan out, some don't. So with that, when we come back, we're going to do NHL News and Notes. And note this, when we do NHL News and Notes, we're going to be dating back to about May when we start doing our news and notes, because there's certain things I want to talk about again and then bring them back into the forefront. So with that, we'll be back from the break.
Summer is heating up and MCW Pro Wrestling has the event for you. The 2016 Shane Shamrock Memorial Cup will be taking place Saturday, July 16th at the MCW Arena in Joppa, Maryland. Come see wrestling legend, the total package Lex Luger, and the icon Sting. Plus see Leo Rush, Jason Gicade, Tommaso Ciampa, Sanjay Dutt, and eight others compete for the Shane Shamrock Memorial Cup. For more information and to purchase tickets, visit mcwprowrestling.com.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the 2015-16 season finale of the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for serious hockey fans. And I have missed hearing this little thing in the background of the podcast. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for NHL News and Notes. And ladies and gentlemen, we start off with May 7th. We're going back. We're bringing this one back. It's Bruce Boudreau was formally announced as the fourth coach of the Minnesota Wild during a press conference at Xcel's Energy Center in St. Paul, Minnesota. Boudreau was hired to replace John Torchitti, who served as the Wild's interim coach for the final 10 weeks of the season after Mike Yeo was fired February 13th. Now, June 7th, Hockey Hall of Fame defenseman Scott Stevens was hired as an assistant coach of the Minnesota Wild. Stevens, who served as an analyst on NHL Network this past season, was an assistant coach of the New Jersey Devils for two seasons before stepping down from that role. He returned to the Devils in December of 2014 as a co-coach alongside Adam Oates and Lou Lamoriello, focusing on the defenseman. When John Hines was named coach of the Devils in June 2015, Stevens decided to pursue other opportunities. Joining Scott Stevens as an assistant coach with Bruce Boudreau, John Anderson was also named an assistant coach of the Minnesota Wild. Anderson spent the past three seasons as coach of the Chicago Wolves in the American Hockey League. He was an assistant with the Arizona Coyotes from 2011 to 2013 and was coach of the Atlanta Thrashers for two seasons from 2008 to 2010. Now, dating back to May 25th, there was a trade that was done. The Florida Panthers traded defenseman Eric Gudbranson in 2016 fifth-round pick to the Vancouver Canucks in exchange for forward Jared McCann, 2016 second-round pick, and a 2016 fourth-round pick. Now, with Gudbranson traded, and then obviously I mentioned that Kulikov was traded at the draft, the Panthers have traded away two very young defensemen, but they did sign Jason Demers. I'm going to get into it a little bit later into the thing where they did sign another person. They traded for somebody and they were able to sign him. So obviously the Panthers are changing the dynamic of their defensive core. On June 13th, Mike Yeo was named to succeed Ken Hitchcock as coach of the St. Louis Blues beginning with the 2017-18 season. Hitchcock said next season will be his last as a coach in the NHL. Yeo was hired as associate coach and Rick Wilson as an assistant for the 2016-17 season. Yeo signed a four-year contract with the final three as Blues coach that will run for the 2019-20 season. June 14th, they say everything old becomes new again. That became true for the Anaheim Ducks when they announced Randy Carlyle as their next coach. Carlisle, who coached Anaheim to the 2007 Stanley Cup, replaces Bruce Boudreau, who was fired April 29th after the Ducks were eliminated by Nashville Predators in seven games in the Western Conference first round. Carlisle, who is 60 years old, coached the Ducks from 2005 to 2011, going 273, 182, and 61 as their all-time leader in wins. On June 15th, forwards Tuvu Teravainen and Brian Bickle were traded to the Carolina Hurricanes by the Chicago Blackhawks on Wednesday for a second-round pick in the 2016 NHL draft and a third-round pick in the 2017 draft. Teravainen brings scoring to the Hurricanes. Bickle brings some grit to the Hurricanes as well. on June 16th. Goalie Cam Ward signed a two-year contract with the Carolina Hurricanes on He will make $3.5 million next season and $3.1 million in 2017-18. Ward, 32 years old, could have become an unrestricted free agent on July 1st. He went 23-17-10 with a 2.41 goals against average and a .909 save percentage in 52 games this season. The last of a six-year $37.8 million contract he signed September 30th, 2009. The Dallas Stars, also on the 16th, traded defenseman Alex Goligoski to the Arizona Coyotes for a 2016 fifth-round pick. Goligoski would go on to sign with the Arizona Coyotes for 6 years. On June 17th, the Calgary Flames ended an exhausting coach search by hiring Glenn Gulitzen on that day. Nearly 7 weeks after firing Bob Hartley, Flames general manager Brad Treliving introduced Gulitzen as Calgary's coach at a press conference at Scotiabank Saddledome. The Flames fired Hartley on May 3rd. The hiring of Gulitzen filled the last coaching vacancy in the NHL. Gulitzen, who's 44, spent the past 3 seasons as an assistant coach with the Vancouver Canucks. He coached the Dallas Stars from 2011-13, going 64-57-9 in 2 seasons, but failed to make the Stanley Cup playoffs. He coached the Texas Stars of the American Hockey League from 2009-11, losing in the Calder Cup Finals in 2011. On June 18th, center Pavel Datsyuk said he will play at home in Russia and not remain with the Detroit Red Wings for the 2016-17 NHL season. "This was not an easy decision, but it's time for us to return home," he said during a press conference at his hockey camp in Orchard Lake, Michigan. Datsyuk, who turns 30 on July 20th, had 1 year left on a three-year $22.5 million contract with Detroit. The NHL salary cap charge associated with his contract, $7.5 million, would count against the Red Wings salary cap for the 2016-17 season. As I mentioned before, I don't like the fact that they traded away his contract, knowing that he is retired, he's signed his retirement papers, he's not being paid, and they did it just to get rid of his cap hit. When they did that, the draft to Arizona, does not sit well with me, does not sit well with others. I'm at least being vocal about my dislike of the trade. On June 20th, the Nashville Predators traded the rights to unsigned draft pick Jimmy Vesey to the Buffalo Sabres for a third-round pick, 76th overall in the 2016 NHL Draft. Anaheim Ducks traded goalie Frederick Anderson to the Toronto Maple Leafs for a 2016 first-round pick, number 30 overall, and a second-round pick in 2017. Frederick Anderson would go on to sign a 5-year contract with the Toronto Maple Leafs and is assumed to be the new number one goaltender in Toronto. And then the New York Rangers traded the rights to the defenseman Keith Yandle to the Florida Panthers for a 2016 sixth-round pick and a 2017 conditional fourth-round pick. Yandle will go on to sign, I believe, a 7-year contract with the Florida Panthers. On June 21st, Vincent LeCavalier announced his retirement officially after 17 NHL seasons. LeCavalier, 36 years old, spent 14 seasons with the Tampa Bay Lightning, serving as captain on 2 occasions and helping them win the Stanley Cup in 2004. He won the Rocket Richard Trophy as the league's top goal scorer with 52 goals in 2006-07. And the King Clancy Trophy the following year, honoring him for his contributions to growing the game of hockey in the Tampa area. LeCavalier signed with the Philadelphia Flyers prior to the 2013-14 season. He played 3 seasons in Philadelphia until he was traded to the Los Angeles Kings with defenseman Luke Shen for center Jordan Wheel and a third-round pick in the 2016 NHL Draft on June 6, 2016. On June 27th, Eric Lindros, Sergei Makarov, Rogi Voshan, and Pat Quinn are heading to the Hockey Hall of Fame. The 18-member selection committee announced the class of 2016. The 2016 induction celebration will be held November 14th at the Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto. And then on June 28th, the Vancouver Canucks organization has been fined $50,000 for violating the NHL Bylaw 15, the NHL announced. Canucks general manager Jim Benning violated the provisions of NHL Bylaw 15 relating to inappropriate public comments by speaking generally to his club's potential interest in players under contract to other NHL clubs, said NHL Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly. On June 29th, we had two trades and a major signing. Edmonton Oilers traded forward Taylor Hall to the New Jersey Devils for defenseman Adam Larson. Hall brings some scoring to the Devils, whereas Larson brings some defensive depth to the Edmonton Oilers. And then in a major blockbuster trade, the Nashville Predators traded defenseman Shea Weber to the Montreal Canadiens for defenseman P.K. Subban. This is a very interesting trade. Shea Weber obviously brings more stability to the defense of the Montreal Canadiens, where P.K. Subban is a better puck-moving defenseman than Weber. But in all honesty, this trade, in my opinion, is kind of a wash. I don't see either of these two guys making that major of an impact for either team in regards to where they're slotted in the lineup compared to where they were with their previous teams. I don't see, unless it's true that the Canadiens brass were getting tired of P.K. Subban and needed to get him out of there, you know, that's one thing, but I mean, it's a blockbuster trade regardless, but I mean, we're going to have to see how this trade plays out. And then on the final bit of news for the 29th, Steven Stamkos ultimately decided he didn't want to go anywhere. The 26-year-old center, who could have become an unrestricted free agent on July 1st, ended a year of speculation about his NHL future when he signed an 8-year contract to remain with Tampa Bay. It is worth $68 million for an NHL salary cap charge of $8.5 million for the 2023-24 season, according to TSN. And then yesterday, July 1st, defenseman Victor Hedman signed an 8-year, $63 million contract extension with the Tampa Bay Lightning. He would have become an unrestricted free agent after this season, upcoming season. Goalie Andrei Vasilevskiy signed a 3-year contract extension with the Tampa Bay Lightning on Friday. The contract has an average annual value of $3.5 million on it. And after 2 years of roster upheaval, it was almost ironic that re-signing general manager Jim Rutherford was the Pittsburgh Penguins' most prominent move when free agency opened. Rutherford, 67, who was named general manager of the year at the 2016 NHL Awards, signed a 3-year contract that will keep him in Pittsburgh for the 2018-19 season. And finally, defenseman Aaron Ekblad signed an 8-year contract extension with the Florida Panthers on July 1st. Financial terms of the contract were not released, but ESPN reported the total value is $60 million. The contract has an annual average value of $7.5 million and will start with the 2017-18 season. He could have become a restricted free agent after the 2016-17 season. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, that is the last NHL news and notes of this season on the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey fans. I want to thank first and foremost, I got to thank people before I log off. I want to thank all the people at the National Women's Hockey League who has worked with me this season, all the players, Brittany Tolte from Buffalo Buttes, PR, Jenny Scrivens, NWHL PR, and New York Rivers goaltender, who is actually retired. She retired a couple months ago. So I wish Jenny Scrivens nothing but the best of luck with what she does in the future. And I hope that maybe she comes back on the show in the future to contribute. Obviously, I want to thank Haley Williams of the Buffalo Buttes, current NWHL free agent. Sorry, Haley. Until I see that announcement that you signed with a team, I'm calling you a free agent. Haley has contributed greatly to the show, even when she was not able to be on this show like we had hoped, as much as she wanted to. Obviously, want to thank Jake Duhame and PR with the National Women's Hockey League for helping set up certain things that needed to be set up. He was actually the one who came up with the idea of doing the Player of the Week interview on the podcast, on the NWHL recap of this show, so he definitely gets credit for that. I want to thank Kate Cimini from Today's Slapshot and Don't Snow the Goalie podcast for her contributions to the show, and everyone keep following her. She's putting out great stuff all the time. I also want to thank all my sponsors that I've had, CSA Shows, who will have on the weekend of July 15th, 16th, and 17th, they're doing a show in Chantilly at the Dulles Expo Center. They're going to have Ric Flair, Velvet Sky, for those who are wrestling fans, and everyone knows I cover professional wrestling on my other podcast. But not only that, but on the Sunday, July 17th, John Carlson and Carl Alsner of the Washington Capitals will both be at the CSA show in Dulles. So check that out in a couple weeks. Go meet John Carlson and Carl Alsner. I'm pretty sure they love to see all their fans. I want to thank Paul Turner, Chrissy Cunningham, Holly Jones, Brittany, all the other people that are at the Till Killed in Frederick, Maryland. Thank you guys so much for sponsoring the podcast. It means a lot to me, especially with the fact that, you know, this is a first year podcast, so to have the support from Till to Kill, it means a lot. I want to thank also Awesome Con, Ben Penrod, Derpy Con, Anthony Zaragoza, Jessica Sullivan for being sponsors of the podcast. Means a lot. So, and of course, you know, this guy, he's helped out in the background. You've heard him on the show a couple times, and that's my buddy Ed Kendrick Dixon. Without him, a lot of things probably wouldn't have been able to get done. He really helped when I had to be out of town for stuff. He really helped pick up the slack and make sure I got the notes that I needed for doing this podcast. So for the final sign off, I just want to say, you know, to everyone again, thank you so much. To those who contributed, thank you again. Can't wait to do this again starting next season. We will be back. I'm looking at a calendar right now. We will be back Saturday, September 3rd. That is when Season 2, or the 2016-17 season of the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey fans, starts up. Again, we will be starting off with World Cup of Hockey coverage. And you can follow the podcast at Experience Hockey on Twitter. And on Facebook at facebook.com/experiencehockeytalk. You can also go to facebook.com/x75productions. Also, you can go to soundcloud.com/x75-productions to listen to this and get the links also for the archives off of the Twitter account. And then I'm also on Twitch TV now, so twitch.tv/themichaelx75. I have signed up for the beta of NHL 17. I will be Twitching it. I do Twitch NHL 16 right now. So if you guys want to still see me do hockey stuff for a while and hear me talk about hockey, twitch.tv/themichaelx75 is the way to go for that, for hockey. And I will still do some tweets on Twitter for the summer, like if the Caps do a signing, there's a trade, something that's major, I will do tweets about it. I will post about it on Facebook. So for one last time, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Experience Hockey Talk, the 2015-16 season finale, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey fans, and we have been brought to you by the Till Kill in Frederick, Maryland. The Till Kill Pub and Eatery, located at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Till Kill Girls. From around Till Kill Frederick, visit them on Facebook today. And until September 3rd, I am going on break. And until then, we will see you on the ice.